What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, a morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 25th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball, and we got to start with Yoendris Gomez. You may not know who he is. He pitches for the White Sox, hasn't had too many starts, and he didn't have an incredible night. It was only 4.2 innings. However, it was zero earned runs, two hits, three walks, and six Ks against the Twins. And I just want to highlight the fact that this is an interesting pitcher. He had a FanFOR Plus of 122 yesterday, which is pretty exceptional. And that's because he has 7 feet of extension. He has over 17 inches of vert. He also has a relatively flat height-adjusted VAA. I believe it was actually at 1.4 or 1.5 yesterday at 95 miles per hour. The thing is, he doesn't really command it too well. He's not getting it upstairs as much as he needs to. And the secondaries, which are also exciting. You have a lot of sweep on Gomez's sweeper. You have two plane movement on the curveball. You have a couple changeups that do get that kick change drop. There is a cutter at 91. It's just not super well spotted yet. That said, watching him pitch, I'm like, this works. This can absolutely do good things for your teams. It's just a matter of consistency, and I don't know if we're going to get that quite yet, but keep him in mind, Yoendris Gomez. It's also the White Sox, maybe not getting the wins that you want, but he is not just some name that you just don't know and should ignore. Paul Skenes against the Rockies got rocky road in Pittsburgh, and honestly, he had a quote-unquote worse, end-quote, start than, say, like Brash and Ashcraft. 7 innings of 0 runs, got the win, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 7 Ks, just on a per-inning basis. You need 101 pitches for this as opposed to like sub 60 for Braxton. Only fewer innings. Just saying. Ranger Suarez against the Nationals got the win with 11 strikeouts, 7 shutout innings. Oh my gosh. Where are we drafting him next year? Are you guys actually buying into this for a full season? I think he actually might be undervalued for next year because Ranger Suarez, really thinking about this, he's been interrupted in the other 2 years where it fell off in the second half or it was a slow start because of annoying issues. If he's in the rotation, everything is fine entering the year. Yeah, just kind of roll with it. Just like Merrill Kelly, 7 innings of 0 runs this year, right? 6 base runners and 8 Ks, killing it for the Guardians. For the Rangers against the Guardians, got that win, of course. And 39% changeups here, which is pretty cool. Ryan Pepiot had a very strange one in Tampa Bay hosting the Cardinals. Now, keep in mind, in Tampa Bay, I've become more aggressive against Tampa Bay pitchers in George Steinbrenner Field. I've seen the light. I understand, based on what Eno was saying, that pitches are not only are moving differently, but the mound is weird too, and it's just weird. Oh yeah, of course, the home run rates too, right? But Pepiot was able to get 5 shutout innings here with only 2 base runners, 1 hit, 1 walk, but only 3 strikeouts, only 5 whiffs, and he was pulled after 63 pitches. Why? Because I think the changeup and slider weren't very good, but really, I think the Rays are saying, look, you're at 153 innings now. We're likely not going to make the playoffs. We don't want you going like 200 innings, you know, anything close to it. We're probably going to be limiting you a little bit, which is unfortunate. And I would consider Pepiot as a guy you start at, well, not at home and on the road. And honestly, if that's not really your jam, you don't want 50% of the starts moving forward. Also, we don't know how much is going to be limited. Yeah, it might be time to move on from Ryan Pepiot. On that note, by the way, I'm going to be doing the list today in about an hour from me recording this, about 2:30. I'll be live streaming it, as always, on playback.tv/pitchlist, and I'm there to answer all of your playoff questions. So make sure you're there for the 2 hours I will be from 2:30 to 4:30. And I'm also here every weekday morning at playback.tv/pitchlist around 10 a.m., sometimes 11 a.m. in the morning for about 2 hours. And I want to highlight the fact that it's not going to be your traditional list. It is the schedules. It is rest of season schedules. And then I bucket everybody into tiers based on who are the ones you're just going to start. Who are the ones that might be early streams or late streams? Who are the ones that are single stream? Who are the, I don't know, the shrug hipsters, right? Or cherry bombs, that kind of thing. So I won't give you a straight up ranking, but I will say, look, these guys are in the same buckets. And you can kind of see based on the starts who I'm favoring at certain points, right? You have Trevor Rogers against the Astros, got the win, and he's just been unstoppable. 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 9 Ks. It's just been unreal. It's been unreal. And I could not have predicted this one. I don't think anyone really predicted this one. It's really been the year of the left-handed changeup arms. Logan Gilbert, by the way, ace is going to ace in 6 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, 13 Ks as he hosted the Athletics at the tee. 25 whiffs and 42% CSW for a golden goal. He didn't even do like the perfect execution that I wanted so long of really the Blake Snell blueprint, but yeah, generally four seamers were in the middle or upper half and then sliders were kind of middle or down. So fine. Logan Gilbert was that. And then you have Zach Gallen getting the Reds carpet and it came through. Six innings, one run, fourths, one walk and seven strikeouts. I just had Chris Felipe talk about Gallen and ask about him with Horton and Mizorowski. And yeah, Gallen has performed better over the last four games, but this was the only one where actually, hey, look, there are some cool signs of the curveball going where it's supposed to go against right-handers and the changeup going where it's supposed to go against left-handers. And also the forcing laying on the edges, not actually being right down the middle and just being like, okay, I need to throw a strike now. Thing is, he gets the Dodgers next. So I don't really want to take a chance there. I'm not going to tell you that Gallen is all of a sudden fixed. We've seen good starts from him where he does look great and then it falls apart the next time. So I'm not ready there, but if that is an impressive start against the Dodgers, then I think, okay, hold on a second. Maybe Gallen actually is holding on to a tweak or some mechanical change that we can apply for the Rangers and Giants after that. Brady Singer on the other side of that game in Arizona, six innings, one run, one hit, three walks, and nine strikeouts. You love to see that. The sweeper getting seven whiffs on its own, and the sinker, okay, Diamondbacks, 18 for 40 called strikes. 45% called strikes on the sinker to the Diamondbacks from Brady Singer. What? All right, if you want to go for it against the Cardinals, fine. He's a hipster, right? He goes back and forth often. Feels like Singer's been doing better lately. He has, but it could still implode on a given night. Jameson Taillon against the Angels got the win. Five innings, one run, three hits, zero walks, and three Ks. He's a Toby. It's great if you need wins. He's a decent stream for ratios as well. Don't expect a ton of strikeouts. You have Bryce Elder against the Mets gaining the gold star. Six innings, two runs, three hits, two walks, and six Ks. This is not something you want to believe in whatsoever. Nick Pivetta got his aces going to ace with seven Ks and six innings for the against the Dodgers. Amazing. The list curse isn't real. It's been defeated by a Nick. What do you know? Yoshinobu Yamamoto, otherwise known as the Inquisitor, if you know his initials. He was on the other side of that, got a win. Six innings, two runs, four hits, two walks, six Ks. I'm really sorry, Pivetta, but you know, pretty much the same exact thing, but you just got to be the, I guess, the away team to get the win. Yeah, all right. Ace is going to ace there, and about 30 starts should be expected for Yoshinobu Yamamoto. It's been a really nice season. If you drafted him as your, I guess, your SP2 or your late SP1, good stuff. Eury Pérez against the Jays might be going as that SP2 next year. He got a win. Six innings, 200 runs, three hits, one walk, and four strikeouts. 18 whiffs. And the thing is, this is the same guy. The four-seamer's killing it. 12 whiffs in this one alone. But he's not really figuring out how to attack left-handers with anything else but those four-seamers. However, the Jays are kind of split. They're not able to just platoon out the right-handers and just go lefties. So he got half righties and he did well against them. The secondaries work better there. Here's the hoping that he'll get that fixed by 2026. Carlos Rodon, I needed four strikeouts from you and you gave me three. 5.2 innings of 200 runs, one hit, five walks for a dusty donut. Whatever, he's fine. I actually went to the U.S. Open yesterday and I haven't followed tennis at all. I've never been to the U.S. Open. It was a really fun thing. And Ben Shelton was the game that I went to, and also Arina Sabalenka. Awesome to watch them both at Arthur Ashe Stadium. But Ben Shelton, I watched him. I thought to myself, man, this is the Carlos Rodon of tennis. A lefty with all this like forceful energy and just a little erratic at times that bothers you, but he's still really good. But you know, you feel like he's not going to be that Cy Young dude. But maybe he can have an amazing stretch and look like that, you know? All right, Spencer Arrighetti against the Orioles. 5.2 innings of two earned runs, six hits, zero walks, and two strikeouts. Oh, man. I mean, it's a productive start. It's just not the one I wanted to see from Arrighetti, as he's just throwing too much in the zone now. Like, you're not going to get whiffs on all these if everything's just in the zone and they're just getting happy with it. And sure, Koufax helped here, but like, Arrighetti, I want to see the ability to throw strikes and being able to nibble with those secondaries and get those whiffs and everything. Like, let's get that together. You get the Angels next, and hopefully you can make that adjustment. David Peterson, 5.2 innings of 200 runs, five hits, four walks, and 8 strikeouts. I don't want to say 0 every time. I don't know why. And 8 strikeouts, 21 whiffs, 35% CSW. Why? 10 whiffs were with the slider on 22 of them thrown. Thing is, remember last game, he had a really good strikeout performance because it was sinker changeup. And the sinker was still kind of present. Really, the four-seamer, though, oh my gosh, he located that one. The slider worked really well. And the changeup was thrown under 10 times. And I generally don't like when I have a pitcher having success in two different ways in two different starts. Some people can be the optimist and say, oh, look, he's got multiple ways for success. And it used to be something that is based in what I do against left-handers and what I do against right-handers. No, this was right-handed success in two different ways in two starts. But to me, it doesn't speak sustainability. You have to do a new thing each time. I hope that this new slider is new. Like, it is a new pitch that he has better feel for because it used to be this absurd whiff pitch. But I'm still a little weirded by it. And yet he has a good schedule, so fine. David Peterson, we're holding on. All right, we have other guys to talk to about. Robbie Ray, some frightening things. Chad Patrick and Gavin Williams, Kevin Gausman. And yeah, some terrible starts from Jacob Lopez, Seth Lugo, Jack Flaherty. Should you worry, I'll tell you after this break. Chad Patrick against the Giants, 5.1 innings of 200 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks, 16 whiffs, 36% CSW, my gosh, amazing, 6 for 19 whiffs on his four-seamer at the very top of the zone, so good, we don't always see that from Chad Patrick, 54% CSW on that cutter. I think there's a little bit of blaming on the Giants, he gets the Jays next. I don't feel like Chad Patrick is someone you have to hold on to here. He has these moments. It's just a little too much, just questionable and not enough juice generally. I mean, 7 Ks is great. We normally don't really see that. Robbie Ray against the Brewers. 5 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 4 walks, and 0 strikeouts. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? And I got to say, guys, he's been averaging 93-94 for the year. He had 94 two starts ago. The previous start, it was 92.1, I believe, on the four-seamer. This one was 91.3. And then you pair that with the four walks, and it's just, are you hurt, Robbie Ray? Is this fatigue? Do you need a start off or maybe the rest of the season off? Yeah, I'm scared. I'm legitimately scared, and I imagine we will hear something about this week. Gavin Williams against the Rangers, 3.1 innings of 300 runs, 3 hits, 4 walks, 3 Ks. You couldn't find strikes again. Why are you the way that you are, Gavin Williams? You could be so good and you just, I can't do this. Jake Irvin against the Phillies, 2.1 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 2 Ks. Yeah, this is honestly one of the better starts just because they only allowed 300 runs and yet he had over 90 ERA, so never mind. Kevin Gausman against the Marlins, 6 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 7 strikeouts. So you like to see the strikeouts, and that's it. Because the 16% CSW on the splitter ain't it. He is not getting whiffs that you want on it. 4 hits allowed here. 4-seamer looked great, and it's almost like splitter's a volatile, guys. He is a hipster. Kyle Hendricks against the Cubs, not a good revenge game of 4.1 innings of 400 runs. I guess that's kind of good for Hendricks against the Cubs. Whatever. Matthew Liberatore against the Rays. He just isn't someone you want to go for anymore. 4.1 innings of 400 runs. You should have moved on if you haven't already. McCade Brown is not even in our system. And he showed up to pitch for the Rockies in Pittsburgh. 3.2 innings of 400 runs. Yeah, he is not the kind of guy that you want to go for. And he's a Colorado pitcher. Like, you don't do that. Dustin May against the Yankees. 4.1 innings in 500 runs. 5 hits, 3 walks, 3 Ks. Yeah, this is a little bit more cutter usage, 35% CSW, fine. But no, this is far too little for us to get excited and consider Dustin May. I'm so sorry. Tosh Bradley against the White Sox. He returned from the minors. And 5 innings of 700 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and just 1 strikeout. How am I supposed to butter my bread with this? This was his debut for the Twins. It was 95-96, and he is his hipster self. But yeah, you don't want to chase that whatsoever. Seth Lugo against the Tigers. Oh, man, this game itself, just for Lugo and for Flaherty, both of them were rough. 4.1 innings, 600 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 5 Ks for Lugo. And I feel like it's a bit of a nail in the coffin for Seth Lugo, simply because he's at 91. It's actually under 91. He has been about 92 for the year. His curveball is still good, but nothing else is really helping him. The last start that was all right for Seth Lugo, fastball helped him. Nothing else is at the moment. I wonder if it's just fatigue. It feels like something that Seth Lugo should be able to pull himself out of. It's just he hasn't. And he'll get the Tigers again. I feel like you got to bench him. Jack Flaherty against the Royals, right, on the other side, was 5 innings, 8 earned runs, 10 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. And once again, we had a clunker of an inning. 6 earned runs in that third inning. Oh my gosh. And they even came out for the 6th after and like an okay 4th and 5th. 6th came out, 2 base runners got pulled, and of course both came around to score for 8 earned runs. It's just, it's so frustrating. I heavily regret the fact that I was still in on Flaherty, and it really didn't make sense to me. And he did have some good starts, but like, yeah, you can't go 2 whiffs total on both the curveball and slider, 1 each. The risk is just so high right now. Ugh, I hate it. And Jacob Lopez at the tee in Seattle. 2 innings of 9 earned runs, 6 hits, 6 walks, 2 strikeouts. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is kind of hilarious to me because, yeah, Jacob Lopez was killing it, just getting all of these strikeouts. And yet we knew the floor. We knew, like, he could be this kind of guy. This is the worst one, of course. And it's all rooted in a southpaw being absurdly cross-body. And what that means is it's harder to get your command back when you lose it. When you're throwing from the side of the ball like that, the timing of coming across the zone versus being higher up where you're coming down on the arm, which means you're north to south, really, right? It's just harder. And a 42% zone rate for Jacob Lopez was just terrible. Thing is, why do guys do that? Well, they are harder to see. They are more deceptive. They get a little bit more movement if you do that crossbody mechanic, those mechanics. I understand why he does it. It also means that Jacob Lopez, despite being so bad in this one, I was hoping he was in a rhythm. Well, he could just get back next time. This was a bad day. So don't rule him out for being bad the next one. And also, if you don't want to take the risk, I completely get it. All right, that is it for today. Thank you all so much for supporting what we do. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.